You in that, looking at the book of Philemon. Okay. I'm always trusting God by faith that it connects every week. I'm always wondering, oh, please connect. Aha! Look at that. Okay. Perfect. Okay, we kind of looked at the intro to Philemon last week, and we were looking at the history of this book. Where did it come from? This was a letter written by Paul. It was labeled one of the prison epistles, along with Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians, and Philemon. They were called the prison epistles. Why do you think they were called that? Because he was in prison in Rome. Yes, Paul was in prison in Rome, and he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. And they got tired of him, and he appealed to Rome. He got put over to Rome because he's a Roman citizenship, and he was on house arrest there. So because of his Roman citizenship. And so he had somebody there with him helping him out. He mentions Timothy, his dear brother, which we're going to get into, and Onesimus. So he's writing to Philemon, who is a dear brother in the Lord, as he says. And he's writing a letter to him, which is different from the other letters, because this is a letter that Paul wrote to a person, not to a church. Right? All the other ones, it was written to a church. But in this letter, Paul is writing to a specific person who's a brother in the Lord named Philemon. And Philemon had a slave, and his name was Onesimus. And he ran away at some point. And so this was around the time of AD 60 to 62 when Paul wrote this letter. And he's writing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, who was once a slave of Philemon's, but he ran away. And at some point in his runaway from Philemon, he met the Lord through Paul's ministry. And so Paul was preaching Christ. Onesimus came, said, "Yes, I believe." And now Paul is sending him back and asking Philemon to have grace, to have, please forgive, and I'm hoping for reconciliation. And so I want to start, and we're going to jump into this book because it's a beautiful book. It's one page, that's it. It has 25 verses in it. How many people know where to find Philemon? Few of us. Just Chad, you just have to look right at the start of your book. It's not very hard, right? So it's before Hebrews and after Titus in the New Testament. And so let's take a look at this book and hear what it says. Verse 1, there's only one chapter, so I don't need to say chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul we're talking of here, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Now, why would Paul say he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus? Because Paul is wanting to clarify, he's meaning that he's viewing his suffering as a part of serving Christ rather than being seen as being a prisoner under Roman rule. I'm not a prisoner under them. I'm actually a prisoner of Christ Jesus, right? Which means I'm free. That's what Paul's saying. I'm free, right? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, not of Rome. And Timothy, our brother, have you read 1 and 2 Timothy? That is the Timothy that Paul is referring to. And Paul says in the first couple verses of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, who is my true son in the faith. So Paul had a very close relationship with Timothy. So he says, Paul, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. So we knew that Philemon was a rich person. Only rich people had enough room to have a church in their home, right? And so Philemon was very well off. We know that, okay? And they had, they were, he was allowed his house to be a place for people to come gather for church. And so he's writing to Philemon, who he calls a dear friend and a fellow worker, right? And to the church that meets Philemon in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? We should actually, when we see each other, we should just say, grace and peace to you. Or when I leave your home, grace and peace to you. Right? Paul says it a lot. Right? He says it all the time. Grace and peace to you. And I hope that you mean it. So when I leave your homes, I'm going to start saying that now, okay? Grace and peace to you. His grace and his peace to you. Verse 4. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Now, here's what I love. Paul uses the word faith a couple times there, right? And that's short, right? Verse 5, I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his people and your faith in Jesus, right? And then in the next verse, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective, right? In the faith. So people ask me, right? Because Christianity has a lot of meanings today, doesn't it? Right, you could say I'm a Christian, and to many people that means a whole lot of different things, right? And so I've always said that if you take Christ out of Christianity, you have a dead religion, right? Christianity, if it's lived as a religion, is the ugliest religion in the world because it was never meant to be one, right? It's to be a faith in Christ, right? And so I love that Paul uses that word twice. So when people ask me, you know, who do you follow? Oh, I said, oh, I'm part of the Christian faith. I follow Christ, right? I abide in Christ, right? And so I really love that because religion, Christianity is not a religion. I want to be clear on that. Religion is a man-made word, right? And that word means man trying to get a hold of God. The Christian faith is God getting a hold of man and working his way through him. Amen? There's a big difference, right? Christianity was always meant to be a relationship and the revelations of his truth he brings to you. Amen? Right? Okay? So I love that Paul starts that way. He says, I heard about your love for all people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Is that not what we want? We want to deepen, right, our understanding of Christ and his goodness and his truth. Amen. We want to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, right? That is my goal. I want to go as deep as I can into knowing him, right? Sharing in the fellowship of those sufferings, as Paul puts it, right? Until the day that he takes us home with him. Amen? So that is one of the goals, to deepen our understanding. It is important to deepen our understanding, and that comes through relationship with him, right? It comes through being aware of him, spending time with him who lives within, right? And I love this. This is a theme for Paul, and I'm gonna read you a few scriptures on this, where Paul says, so with your faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Sharing was very important to Paul. Did you know that? It was important to Jesus. Let me back up, and I want to read from you. You can just listen this morning, and I was going to get people to read, but just for the sake of time. So Matthew 19, I'm going to read, and around verse 21. Here's what it says. So Jesus is talking to this young man, and the question was asked, Teacher, what must good thing do I have to do to get eternal life? That's the question he's asking. What is the good thing I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you ask about me and what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Right? So remember in Genesis 1, he made this and it was good. He made this, and then he made man and it was very good. The good thing about me, Pastor Chad, is Christ. That's the good thing. You will like me because of Christ in me. You will not like me because of the flesh of Chad, right? What my life really adores about me is Jesus in me. Amen? That's the good thing. And Jesus says to him, there's only one who is good, right? And it's Christ. It's him. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And he says, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall, well, that's pretty good, eh? Don't murder, right? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these I have kept. So what do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away very sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said, truly I tell you, it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The rich don't like to share, right? Well, I've accumulated, I've worked hard for this, right? But there's a theme with Paul about sharing because it was important to Jesus. Let me go over to Luke in chapter 12 and let's hear kind of how Luke writes it down. And I want to share with this. This is Luke 12, verse 33. And he says, this is when he's talking about do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And then in verse 33, he says this. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? So he's saying, sell your possessions. You want to be perfect? Go sell your possessions. Now let's go to Acts, right? Let's go to Acts now. And let's see what it says in Acts, the book of Acts. And I'm going to start in chapter 2. And you guys have heard me refer about Acts chapter 2 a few times. And I'm going to start around verse 32. Okay. Here's what it says in the book of Acts. God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I already mentioned this morning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Listen to this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Can you imagine doing that? Hey, guys, okay, next Sunday, let's get together. Let's talk about what properties we're going to sell, and let's just share together. It would be weird, wouldn't it, today? We would think that's really weird. But that's what they did. And it's a big theme for Paul is sharing. sharing, and in Philemon he mentions this: be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. We want to be people who refresh others. Amen? Don't you want to be around somebody who refreshes you, right? Not drains you? Do you have people in your life that you can think of right now that just drain you, right? I call them, those are the ones that have the Judas ministry with you. They continually make you die to self, right? Just keep dying to self, right? And we need those people in our life too. But Paul says here, that's what I love. He says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people, right? We want to be a people in our dealings with others who refresh others, not drain others. And that will come out of the relationship that you currently have with Jesus, how deep you have gone with him, that life and your mission and your goal is to accomplish what he wants to do through you. Amen? And as you tap into that in this world that we live in, because the world wants to draw you to all kinds of things, right? When you tap into that, I promise you, you will be refreshing to others. I never thought I could be, right? I never ever thought I could be, but my saving grace is Christ in me, my hope of glory. When people come into my office, that's what refreshes them. It's not because when you enter the office of Pastor Chad, the spirit of Einstein is in the room. I am just not that brilliant, right? And when you come into my office, you'll discover that very quickly. But you will discover is that Christ has something for you because he is the key to my counseling. Because I know that he knows every hair in your head. He knows your very DNA. And so I need him to speak to you because he knows you more intimately than anybody else ever will. Amen? And when you tap into that, you will be refreshing to others. People will want to be around you because you don't drain them, you refresh them. All right, we want to be people who refresh here at PCC. I want people to walk away here and say, oh, man, it's like I just drained a gallon of water. I am so hydrated right now. I'm so refreshed, right? We want to be a people who are known to refresh, not de-energize, not drain. Verse 8, therefore, although in Christ, there's Paul using that word in Christ again. Remember, we talked about that. In Christ, we talked about what that means. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and I could order you, Philemon, to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Don't you love that Paul says that? Hey, Philemon, I just want to let you know I could tell you and make you to do what I want you to do. But I don't want to do that because I'm a nice guy, right? And I'm a really loving man. And so I would rather appeal to you, Philemon, on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you. Right? It is none other than I, Paul. It is Paul who's speaking to you. I could order you, but I'm appealing to you on the basis of love. Right? I love how Paul words that. Such a doer. Right? And I'm appealing to you as an old man and also a prisoner of Jesus. And I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Right? He calls Timothy his son, and he calls Onesimus his son. Paul must have been old, right? Older, right? In order to call them his sons, but they're like sons to him. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, Philemon, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. So Paul's a feeler too, right? Onesimus is my very heart. He has been such an encouragement to me. I don't want to send him back, but I'm going to send him back to you. He appeals on the basis of love. Do you like to do things in your life because you're obligated to or because you desire to. Yeah, right? I absolutely love it, and I mentioned this last week, when my kids just desired to clean their rooms and I didn't have to obligate them, right? You can come in, you open the door, and sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, teenage boy, can you please air that out? Put the dirty laundry away, right? Clean your room, right? But sometimes when they do it, right? And it goes so much easier when we do it out of desire, right? Rather than obligation. I love that quote by Napoleon Bonaparte. And here's a quote of what he said. It was recorded. And Napoleon said this. He was the French conqueror, right? Bloody conqueror, right? It was a horrible war, the Napoleon Wars. And Napoleon said this towards the end of his life. He said, I know men, and I've discovered that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no comparison. Charlemagne, Alexander the Great, Caesar, and I, we've all founded and conquered empires. But upon what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force, upon obligation. Jesus Christ founded his upon love. And at this hour, millions of men and women would die for him. Isn't that something? Right? Even he could see at the end of his life. Jesus didn't obligate. He wanted them to choose out of desire. Amen? He did not force. They got to choose. Right? Because love has to, as you've heard me say a million times. Right? Love has to. Right? If I force Tracy to love me, is that love? No. What makes it love is she has the choice. And it says God is love. He has to give choice. The law obligates, but grace and truth come out of desire. Amen? Right? And that's why Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but I am the fulfillment now of it. You can now obey the law because you have my life. You have the right source in you now that will naturally fulfill that. Amen? Do you understand that? Right? So we are a people who don't force. I'm not going to hold somebody to gunpoint and say, you better believe in Jesus, right? The Crusades were horrible, weren't they? They were absolutely horrible, the English Crusades. Maddie gets to go there and learn about all that, see all that stuff, observe a bit of the history there, right? But it's not. Jesus never forced anybody, did he? He is the biggest gentleman I know. Now, he challenged people, didn't he? He was firm. And he was hard-nosed at times. Remember when he went into the temple courts and cleared it out? You've made this house of prayer into a den of thieves and robbers. Get out. This is my Father's house. I have zeal for the Lord. So he was firm. But he never forced, did he? Everybody got to choose. And so we are a people who don't obligate. We let them choose out of desire on the basis of love, Paul says. Okay. I am sending Onesimus to you as my very heart. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Isn't that kind of Paul? Did you catch what he's saying there? Right, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do, Philemon, would not seem forced but would be voluntary, because I know he's actually your slave. Right? So I don't want you to feel forced when you do a favor. Well, gee, you have Onesimus. I own him. I own him. Not I own. I own him. Right? I own him. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, Philemon, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Right? So what is Paul saying? I'm sending him back. Right? Please. You must see that he is no longer your slave, but he is a what? A brother. He is now a dear brother in the Lord. He has given his life to Christ, right? Yes, at one time you were the master of this slave, but now as I send him back to you, he is now family, right? He is family. I hope family of God means something to us here. Family's important, isn't it? Right? That's why you hear me say Lot's sister and brother. Because I made a decision years ago. I thought perhaps if I use those words, it'll actually come to fruition in my heart that I look at you as family. Right? I want us to treat, isn't that the greatest, right, relationship that we have here on earth with one another? Right? It's not just Rita, it's my sister. She's family to me, right? Yes, right? I care about her life as much as my blood sister. Amen? That's how I want us to be. And that's how Paul is appealing to Philemon. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So Philemon, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Don't you love that? But let me just mention, Philemon, you owe me yourself, your life. This gospel came to you through me. So just to remind you, you owe me your very self. Right? I just love Paul, right? Paul gives me hope in my life. I could just relate to him, right? But can I read it to you again in case you were sleeping, okay? So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Right, Paul, I'll pay it, Paul's saying. I want you to forgive him. Right? Isn't that what Paul's saying? And I want you guys to be reconciled, right? Forgiveness and reconciliation is the main theme in this book. Yes, he did you wrong. He should not have run away. Remember last week I told you what happened to runaway slaves? Be killed for it, right? They could be killed for it. And Paul's saying, I'll pay the debt. Who paid our debt? Yeah. See, Paul is practically applying what his Lord and Savior did for him, right? Don't you love that? Right? Paul is ministering live in the flesh, not just writing words. I remember, and let me kind of end with this. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. I apologize, you guys. That clock is fast, by the way, at least by 15 minutes. I remember I was on a trip in South America somewhere. And I had been preaching Christ and teaching and discipling these people, and they were loving it. And they gave me, I said, I think my flight leaves here at this time. And they said, no, it leaves at this time. Right? And this actually happened to my mentor as well. And I learned from him. And I said, no, I'm pretty sure. No, it leaves here. I said, okay. I'll submit. All right. We'll get to the airport. No, it had left the day before. And they're all just hanging their heads down. Now, my blood could have boiled. My kids have seen that when dad's in the flesh. It's not pretty, is it? No. It's pretty ugly. Right? But in that moment, right, I was in the spirit walking with Jesus. And even though I was like, oh, man. And then I came up to the counter and said, hey, listen, my flight was yesterday. Well, sir, sorry, you missed it. You have to repay for this flight. And we didn't have a lot of money back then when the ministry was first starting. And I gathered those brothers around and said, listen, pick up your heads. It's not you. It's not me. It's God. God allowed this. Right? So pick up your heads. Right? Whatever passed through that came to me had to pass through God's hands first, and he allowed it to come. So it's for a reason. So lift up your heads. And anything that I said for those 2 weeks I was there, right, it meant nothing compared to that moment when it was applied. Amen? Right? So Paul's applying what he's learned from his Lord and Savior, his very life, Jesus. And he's saying, I'll pay it. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm going to cover it. I'll pay it. Would you please forgive Onesimus? Would you please reconcile that relationship, because they're family, right? They're family. And here's how it ends. I just love, Paul, I'm writing this to you with my own head. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? Paul's, not to forget to mention, you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Right, he's asking him, we want to be refreshing. Oh, Philemon, would you refresh my heart by allowing this? Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than what I ask. Amen? Have you heard that somewhere else? Even greater things you will do than these. You will do more than you could ask or imagine. Amen? Right? I'm hoping, knowing that you will do even more. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Get it ready, I'm coming. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that ends the letter. That's it. And Paul finishes. Don't you love how Paul words things? Right? Even though I could tell you to do something, but I can appeal to you in love. Right? Could you do this? I'll pay it. But just to remind you, you owe me your very self. Right? I love that. Paul gets away with it somehow. It's in the Bible, darn it. Right? I just want to say this to end. The theme in this letter is Christian family, brotherhood and sisterhood. It's important, amen? Onesimus is not a slave. He's a brother now, right? Treat him accordingly, right? I hope that we all here treat each other accordingly, with love, with refreshment, that we carry one another's burdens. Family is important, right? Forgiveness and reconciliation, and love versus obligation. Those are the main themes. Did you hear them? I hope that you sink your teeth into those things. Let me say this. As I read Paul's letter, I just love how he, as you know, how he words things, right? I could order you to do this, but I'm going to appeal to you in love, right? I'll pay it, but just to remind you, you owe me your very self, right? In our dealings with others, Paul is reminding us to be redemptive, right? Be redemptive in your dealings with others. I think you guys have heard me say, when somebody has attacked me, right, and I'm writing them back, I will have Tracy look over it, or somebody look over it, and say, and I get them to say this. I ask them, I said, when you're reading this response back to them, hopefully not a reaction, but a response, right? I want you to read it and ask yourself, will this redeem them or will this condemn them? Because I want to be redemptive in my dealings, right? And so she'll read it. Tracy's done this with me before, and she goes, well, I think you should get rid of this sentence. I'm like, well, let me have that one at least. Just, it was hidden in there. I thought she might not see it. But no, she said, Chad, that will, they won't hear anything else. They'll just see that one sentence where you're condemning. Oh, gosh darn. Okay, delete it. Right? We want to be redemptive in our dealings with others, right? Not condemning, right? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, right? So we want to be redemptive. So in your dealings with each other here, we want to redeem, not condemn. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful little letter that Paul wrote. Thank you for the message of the importance of family. Onesimus is no longer a slave to you, Philemon. He is now family. Treat him accordingly. And I hope you do even more than just treat him accordingly. I pray here at PCC, we're known as a family who really loves each other. That people know when they walk in here, they're hit with a wave of love and that they're refreshed. That they know there's grace and truth that'll be extended here. That they'll know that this is a church that bears burdens with each other. Lord, thank you for this letter. Thank you for the message that is through there, Lord, that we don't just talk about it, Lord. We have to live it. And we can only do that, as Paul says, in Christ. So would you teach your children, teach us, Lord, deepen in us how we continue to live out this life in you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Okay, you're in for a treat. I'm going to release Jeremy on you to preach next week. All right? He will probably say to you, happy Sunday. He says it every Sunday. Right? He's full of energy and love for the Lord. Jeremy's one of our leaders. And Jeremy, you're going to preach on John 6, right? John 6 is a wonderful chapter. Yes, I'm a little jealous. But I got to take my daughter to the airport. And I will see you the week after that, though. So blessings. We are going to be what in our dealings with others? Refreshing and redemptive, right? Amen? All right, have a great week. We'll see you guys. I won't see you next Sunday, but I'll see you in two Sundays.